Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
This is Elder Care Radio on another great Wellness Wednesday. And I'm Richard and this is Kaylee and we're excited to be here and talk about a number of things. Today, we just want to remind people that this can be a call-in show. You know, a lot of times when we are talking, it's not something that we'll get any calls. We don't expect that. Today, there may be some questions, so we would encourage you to call us in the show or text, and we'll get you those numbers. Or you can call us after, and we'll answer those questions.
But we understand that this is a very personal, these are usually very personal questions, and they usually come to us after the show, and please feel free to call our office at any time. We are always happy to answer whatever questions you have. We are your elder resource for all things that are necessary in our lives. Even if you just want to talk for a little bit and discuss things and hear yourself say what you're deciding to do out loud, just so that you have an opportunity to kind of make the decisions that are best for you. We welcome those calls. We love to meet our friends in the elder community here in Southern Utah. Everybody, really, but especially our little elderly community.
Yeah, I think as we deal with these circumstances, there are times when we just need somebody to talk to, and we're more than happy to take that call and give you some input and information. We get those calls every week, and we love it, whether it has anything directly to do with what we do or things related to it, we'll at least give you maybe a different perspective than you'd get from some salesman somewhere.
Yeah, and our topic today, we want to talk a lot about advanced directives and PULSE, and we'll get into that more. But those things can be very difficult to discuss with your children. Sometimes kids don't want to have that conversation, or sometimes it's the parent themselves that don't want to have that conversation. But they are very, very important conversations. Before we get into that, we want to invite everybody out to the Hurricane Senior Center on 300 West and 100 North. They are open and providing lunch every weekday starting at 11 Monday through Friday. And they want more people to come in and enjoy the services that they offer. We are out there every Monday morning from 11 to 12 doing blood pressures, blood glucose tests, tracking temperatures, and we give you a little card so that you can keep track of how your vital statistics are maintaining or changes in vitals.
And that information then you can give to your doctor. We can send it to him. We'll keep a list also. But that way your doctor has a tracking history of what your blood sugar's been or what your blood pressure's been over a period of time instead of just that one blood pressure test when you're nervous in the doctor's office.
And we are also at the St. George Senior Center. That's just a little off Diagonal Street downtown. It is also open and operating and having a lot of activities. And they, too, have invited us out on the 2nd and 5th Thursday at 9 a.m. to 11. So please come out and see us. We'd love to meet you all, and it'll be nice to get to know you just a little bit better. And if you do have those questions and you wanted to talk privately about them, we'll set aside a space and go have those conversations with you. So if you do want to call in or text, the number is, Andy?
Okay. Now let's get all the magic numbers in there. First of all, for your office, it's 435-477-6999. That's a lot of numbers, 435, and then on the left side, 477, on the right side, 6999. And you can call, and you can actually even talk to Richard or Kaylee right in person. How cool would that be? Now, if you want to call into the radio show, get your pens out. It's 435, and it's actually really easy to remember. 673, which is an old St. George prefix, and then it's 5890, which is, of course, is our number, 5890. 673-5890 is the studio line. And if you just don't feel like you want to talk, but you do want to get involved, you can text me. And this one's a little more complicated. The text line, though, is 435-467-5842. I think that's all the magic numbers, you guys.
Sounds good.
All right, so today we kind of want to cover some maybe uncomfortable ground, things that we don't normally want to talk about. So let me just say that we, Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, recognize that all persons have a fundamental right to decide relating to their own medical treatment, including the right to accept or refuse that treatment. It is our policy to encourage individuals and the families to participate in decisions regarding care and treatment. We respect and follow all of those you know, decisions. And the family is the or the family and the patient primarily, are the decision makers. They're the ones who should decide what that care is. And we are there to help provide that care.
We really are just a source of information, resources, and training. We will provide all the equipment and pharmaceuticals or whatever it is that you need, but we will never force anything on you. We will never come in with medications and say, this is the protocol, this is what you're going to do. You will tell us when it's time, and we will help educate you on which medications will provide symptom management for whatever your issue is. But we often get those concerns that if I sign up for your program, are you going to come in and medicate my mom or dad and then they're going to just sleep? And we will promise you now, we will never ever do that. As Richard was explaining, we encourage families to participate in their care. That is called a care plan or sometimes plan of care. And we always have the families and the patient very, very involved in those choices. So let's talk about how you can make your choices best known.
Well, it's interesting that, you know, the things that make us most uncomfortable, especially those things that we're going to have to deal with, most of that discomfort is the fact we don't know what we're dealing with. And so we hope that we can go through this today on the radio. You know, there's no pressure, no obligation, just kind of listen and pay attention so that you are better prepared when that decision has to be made. And we would encourage you to make that decision sooner rather than later, because you can always change your decision. You're not just making anything permanent. So we're going to talk about advanced directives and the physician's order for life-sustaining treatment. It's called a PULST. And the PULST is the action document that is there in an emergency. And then the advanced directive is more of the playbook, so to speak, the whole background of decision-making that helps us get there. So let's start with the PULST.
PULST stands for?
Physician's order for life-sustaining treatment.
Or provider order for life-sustaining treatment. Yep, either.
And so this document is intended to provide a very limited set of instructions in an emergency situation. So the document should be available, and the best place to have that, the place that is going to, that everybody's going to be looking for it, that wants to find it, would be on your refrigerator. If you're in a position where EMTs, medical staff, firemen, police show up, and they find that you're unconscious, and they're going to look at what the instructions are. Now, the default for everybody who has never made this decision is we do everything possible to sustain life, okay? But we may decide that that's not the best. Everything possible isn't necessarily the best that we could have, and we may want to decide to limit the things that we do. It's entirely up to you. And I want you to understand that this document is all about control. You're in control.
Your control, right.
Yeah. You're the one who's in control entirely. This document can be modified. You can change it at any time. If you think next week or in 2 hours, oh, you know, I don't think that's the decision I should have made, then you can change that. So that's one of the most important things. It's just that we want to have an instruction set so that when people show up, they will do what you want. Not do what they're intending to do, but actually fulfill on what you want.
And that's really important to make those decisions in advance. That way your decisions are being followed. And it can be as detailed or as limited in detail as you decide. Sometimes I think going through the first time, answering all the questions and filling it out just once, taking some time to think about it, then later you can come back and say, okay, I want to change that. I'm not as afraid of that yet anymore. An advanced directive will include healthcare power of attorney in case you were not able to make decisions for yourself. So if you were found unconscious, then your healthcare power of attorney would step in. But that power of attorney, that person you assign, will never have power to make decisions for you if you are consciously aware. So don't be afraid to assign somebody the power of that healthcare, because it's only if you weren't able to make those decisions on your own.
Right. They're your backup decision maker.
Right. The advance directive also includes a living will. And how wonderful. It's been made so, so easy in Utah. And I'm not trying to, disparage the attorney or legal community, but These directives are so easy to fill out, and we would be happy to help you provide them for you. They are available online, but we'd be happy to walk through them and answer any questions that you have and kind of explore the decisions that you'll be asked to make. And that's anytime. Just give us a call and we'll schedule an appointment for that. We'd be happy to do that for you. But that will is just your desires, and it's changeable. It's adaptable based on your specific needs at the time that you wrote it.
It should be changed, because when it comes to your will or any of your estate planning, things change. If you have a living trust or a will and you've sold your car and bought another one, then
it changed.
It changed, and you should modify the will or trust to do that. And it's not
changed.
Yeah, and an important point is it's entirely within your power to make those changes. You don't need to hire somebody to do it. It's not an inconvenience. It's important that you just understand what that document is and how it works. So I would recommend that you read it. If you read your will or your living trust or your provider's order for life-sustaining treatment or your advance directive, you just go through and read it. I think you'll have a better understanding of what its intention is, how it can apply, and how you can apply it best for you. And that's really what we're hoping, is that we can get past this fear of the unknown. We get everybody to understand it so that they can take control of their life, because we believe that taking control of your own life is really the best way to live your life.
Go ahead.
All right. So if we're looking at the provider's order for life-sustaining treatment, that pulse, that blue document, and it's blue so that it catches everybody's eye, so that if a EMT shows up at your house, they can immediately notice whether there is one or not, and that's as far as they need to go. If there isn't one on the refrigerator, then they're going to go into default mode. If there is one on the refrigerator, then they're going to look at it. And there are three main sections that you have to make decisions on. Now, this is not a one-time thing. This is this is how I think I want to be treated, and tomorrow it may be different. As a parent of young children, I think we have to be willing to do anything, including suffer all pain and anguish in order to be there for our kids. But as we get older, would it really be a great thing to suffer a heart attack and only come back to lay in a bed in great pain and expire because of internal organ damage? Maybe that's a little too graphic for a Wednesday morning. But if those are your two choices, you should probably understand that. So the first section of this provider order that you're going to make a decision on is just cardiopulmonary resuscitation, CPR. We've all seen it on television. We all kind of understand the process.
Well, it's funny that you said that. We see it on TV and it just seems so nice, right? They just pump on your chest a little bit. Maybe they used to breathe in your mouth, but they don't anymore. There's a lot of excitement surrounding it, but then all of a sudden the patient usually, maybe coughs a little bit and comes right back. But that's not really how CPR is in real life. It's pretty aggressive. I've heard it described by physicians as very violent. They literally, you have these ribs encasing your heart to protect your heart, and it can protect your heart from falls and automobile accidents and everything else. And now we're trying to get to that heart to pump it. So they are going past the rib cage. They are pushing your ribs past your rib cage to your heart. Now, why do you need to understand that? Because if you understand how violent it is, you may also realize that you may not recover from that. And if you choose to have that, you may end up being, comatose in a hospital bed, kind of locked in your own brain. And I'm not trying to make decisions for you or lead you one way or another. I'm an information person. I want to know everything so that I'm making the decision that's right for me. Now, my decision for my children or a 30-year-old might be a lot different than the decisions I make for me. So give me all the information, and I hope that that helps you somewhat.
Yeah, going back to that that violent event, understand that many of us have cracked a rib. I think we all know the long-term pain of that one small little rib being broken. But we're not talking about a crack in a rib, and we're not talking about maybe just one. We are talking about completely breaking and folding over those rib bones, and they aren't going to heal back the way they were. But how long does it take to heal? And while that's healing, and we've crushed the entire structure of the chest that is usually used for breathing, you start seeing, you know, the intensity of this circumstance. And if we look at the recovery rates, you know, for, and I'll give you the best case scenario for somebody who's around 30 years old, there's a 30% chance of success, of survival, if that CPR event happens in the hospital. Those are the statistics. A 30% success rate if it happens in the hospital. So outside of the hospital, the success rate is even less. Now, we're not talking about getting the heart pumping again. We're talking about a survival rate where people actually live beyond that event, because many people have gone through CPR and the heart started pumping again and then stopped. And so we go through that. But if you had that success, then you have to deal with the recovery part of it. So those are the – that's – I think we've gotten graphic enough. I hope we don't need to go further than
but
that.
But one of the things I want people to understand is when you choose if you choose do not resuscitate in the first section, there's still section B, C, and D that gives additional information of what that means. So nobody's just going to say, oh, I see a do not resuscitate order, you know, on the refrigerator. It says do not resuscitate. Everybody hands off, move away. Don't touch them. We can leave now.
Yeah,
that's not how it is. There's other choices that you can expand on of what your intentions are.
Right. That CPR part is only if you are found and your heart's not beating.
Right.
That's the only time. And most of us are never going to have that experience. So part A of this has almost no possibility of happening for most of us. But in the off chance that it was a deal, then you'd want to know. You know, enough so that you can make a decision about that. So then we're talking about the next section is medical interventions. Okay. And we would expect some medical interventions. Certainly, there's at the top of the list is full treatment. And that includes things like intubation, mechanical ventilation, defibrillation, cardioversion, vasopressors. There's a whole lot of processes that medicine has been able to create to keep a body functioning. But that doesn't make it living.
Yeah, right. One of the things that I think is interesting, and again, this is a Utah provider order for life-sustaining treatment, and I think they've done an incredible job. But right underneath it, it says Utah Life with Dignity Order. And I think that's an important part. I think the first thing we need to do is set aside our emotions and say, what quality of life am I willing to sustain? If you bring me back, I want to be conscious. I don't want to be kept on, well, and this is another section, you know, artificial nutrition, or don't only keep me alive with mechanical means when I'm locked inside of a body that can't function. So you have to kind of decide where your quality of life is. And then when you look at the answers or the questions that are being asked of you, it's not quite as scary because you can say, okay, so this is the life that I'm willing to, this is quality for me. And anything below this is no longer quality. That way, as you go ahead and make your decisions on your pulse, they'll be appropriate for your individual goals at the end. There's a few other sections about artificial nutrition and, you know, mechanical means, but we need to spend a little bit of time on the advanced directive. Did you have something you wanted to say before?
Well, I was saying, if you understand what your choices are, then you can make an informed decision, and it is entirely up to you. If you want all of the medical things that are available, then you should know that those are available to you.
Yeah, so they are available.
And you can choose that here. You can actually put it on here and say, that's exactly what I want. And that's what we hope we're covering here, is that people have choices. You can choose to have the absolute most medical interventions possible, regardless of the outcome. You could make a decision that's going to be a little more correct for the outcome. And so the next one down is limited additional interventions. And that means they'll clear your airway. They will try and, you know, do all kinds of things to help you recover. Nobody's going to just abandon you in your time of need. But that may be an option for you. And then there's just comfort measures. And that's knowing that we are in a position where we aren't going to recover. Do we just do everything we can to make it comfortable?
But comfort measures still includes providing fluids and food and comfort and offering pain management if you need it.
And
it
oxygen.
Still includes oxygen, yep. Mm-hmm. Positioning, keeping you comfortable, and transferring you to the hospital if comfort measures can't be managed. So, you know, for me, comfort measures is a big one. I'm comfortable with the do not resuscitate as long as the comfort measures are there, because right there in that last line, it says, if you can't keep me comfortable, get me to the hospital, right?
Right. And there's another section, another offer that says you have no preference. You aren't willing to make that decision today. And that's okay, too. Again, all of these options are available. We encourage everybody to get a copy of a Pulse. You can probably find one online if you want, Utah Pulse, or you can call our office and we'll have one available for you to pick up so that you can review it. You don't have to make any decisions. We're not going to commit you to anything. You can look at it just to be better informed, whether it's for you or a family member. Maybe this is a chance to get the whole family together and just have a conversation. Okay.
Okay. Advanced directive. I'll go through the topics here. So part one allows you to name another person to make your healthcare decisions. When you cannot make those decisions or speak for yourself, part two allows you to record your wishes about the healthcare in writing. There are some little details there that kind of helps you expand on that. Part three tells you how to revoke or change this directive, and that's important. As we said before, this is not a permanent long-term thing. If you choose for it to be changed, you have absolutely every right to change it.
As our life changes, our documents need to change. It's really pretty simple.
Right. As I said before, my decisions as a 30-year-old were completely different than my decisions today. And the part four makes it a legal document. So I'll explain that just really quickly, and then we'll get into the details of the advance directive. So if you came into our office and we helped you complete it, we would not be able to witness that for you. You have to have somebody completely separate from you so that you're not persuaded into making any decisions. So let's just say that you were sitting home with your children going through filling out the advance directive. You might want to go down the street and ask a neighbor to come up and sit there to see that you weren't forced into anything, because at the end they need to witness your signature. Maybe, you know, whether it's a neighbor or somebody from your church or whatever, whoever, somebody you feel comfortable with within your family needs to witness that these are your decisions.
And for the witness, there's no commitment, no obligation. All you're doing is saying, yes, this person signed this of their own free will and choice. I mean, we can use all those verbs we've heard on the television, but
it says that on the form.
Yeah, it's just they're doing is saying, yes, you signed it. That's the entire part of this. They don't have to be involved later. So don't feel that that's a big obligation for anybody.
Right. So in one, you name your agent, your healthcare agent, right? And there's also an option for an alternate agent as well in case the first one is not available. Then you move on to part two, and part two is where you make some of the decisions for yourself. Let me open this document real quick and look at this.
So the where the Pulse is the action plan at the moment, the advanced directive is really the overall plan. You're going to cover a lot more areas than just CPR and life-sustaining treatments in there. It's one of the documents that's part of this whole end of life or, you know, total life planning. Beyond that, you may have a will, and a will is an effective document if you have minor children. It's not so effective if you don't. So you might want to look at alternatives, and you can get advice. You can find out information. The more information you have, the better prepared you are to make a decision. So we encourage you to listen to some people who talk about estate planning, get that information, find out, you know, the details that you can so that you can be better prepared to answer those questions and help somebody who's going to help you. It's been great. Our telephone number, 435-477-6999. We look forward to hearing from you this week.
Have a great week, everyone.